Please stand, if you would, for the reading of the word. Reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 16, first verse. I've said all these things to you to keep you from falling. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they've not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I have told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare it to you, the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. The subject of our meditation this afternoon is the Helper. The Helper. You'll find it in our text in verse 7. The Helper is something the Lord has already mentioned a couple of times to the disciples in this discourse. So I need to go back to those first couple of mentions to let you know something about the Helper. We go back one full chapter and a half to verse 15. Or verse 16 of chapter 14, the Lord says in this very long discourse to his disciples, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. For he dwells with you and will be in you. The word that's translated helper here and consistently in the other passages that we look at in this discourse is the word I know most of you are familiar with. It's the word paraclete, and it's literally a compound of two Greek words. Para means alongside of, like parallel, and then klete comes from the word which means to call. And so a paraclete is someone who is called alongside to render help. Now, help is a good translation, as we have here in the consistently in the ESV. But actually, there's a couple of interesting things about this. Number one, when Jesus says, I will send you another helper, the word he uses for another is another of the same kind, as opposed to a different kind of helper. So what we see here is the same essential sort of help that they have been receiving from Christ while he was with them in the flesh and ministering among them. But now he is just a short time away. He'll be leaving and going back to the Father. And he's going to send them another paraclete, another helper. And the other helper is of the same kind. In fact, what that word helper or paraclete can be enlarged to mean is it's someone that gives help, someone that renders aid, a counselor. And you remember Jesus was promised to be a wonderful counselor by the prophet Isaiah. And when Jesus came, he certainly was. He was wise and he was prudent and he was thoughtful and loving and provident. And he was a wonderful counselor. And the one who is coming, the helper, will also be just like Jesus, a wonderful counselor. The word can also mean an advocate, someone that stands up for and speaks for him. In fact, it even has the forensic connotation of being a defense attorney, someone that will defend. In fact, that word comforter, comfort, of course, is an English word which comes from two words in the Latin, cum and forte, which means strong. It's someone that comes along and is strong. So that's who the helper is. The helper is someone that's going to be our advocate. He's going to be our aid. He's going to be our helper. He's going to be just like Christ. He's going to be what we need. Christ is going away in his incarnation, in his flesh. He is not ubiquitous. He cannot be in his flesh everywhere. He's limited by time and space of the genuine human body that he occupies. But by the helper, the other comforter, he will be with us till the end of the age. And so it's necessary that Jesus sends this comforter. I want to just sort of frame it very quickly around three questions. The first one is, who is this helper? And then, what does this helper do? And then, why do we need the helper? So let's quickly get to these three answers, and they're very brief answers to these extremely good questions. Who is the helper? Well, the helper is none other than the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Holy Trinity. That's why he can be another comforter of the same kind, is because he is of the same divine essence. He is the Holy Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, the prophets expected the Spirit to come. In fact, that was the promise that one day the Spirit would come. Moses even lamented way back in the wilderness, "Oh, that the Spirit of the Lord was upon all the people." And the Jeremiah promised that there would be a day coming when the Lord would send his Spirit. And Ezekiel said the Spirit would be put within us. He would be, as Jesus said, in us and with us. He would indwell us. Joel said the Spirit would come. There'd be a pouring out of his Spirit upon God's people. And so this is the much anticipated and much longed for presence of God. The Spirit of God in the Old Testament was all over the place. One of the places he dwelt in the Shekinah glory of God in the tabernacle. And that's where God's presence would be with the people. God's presence would come upon them. God's presence would from time to time depart from them. He symbolized and embolized many ways in the Old Testament, typified by the pillar of fire and the cloud and the Shekinah glory in the tabernacle and many other ways. But it's this self-same person who's the third person of the Holy Trinity, the promised Spirit. He is of one divine essence as the Father and as the Son, yet the helper, the Holy Spirit of God, is fully distinct as a person of faith. He comes as a person to us in his own personhood. He is not just merely a force. He's not just the power of God, although his great works are. He does all sorts of things, which brings us to our second question. What does the helper and the Spirit do? Well, a couple of verses in the passage will help. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. This is a wonderful passage, and you can take it by way of application to your own personal life, that the Lord teaches you and he brings things to your remembrance, and he is a personal guide and counsel and aid to you. I'm not negating that application at all, but I would like to suggest that in the primary sense, this particular promise Jesus made that the helper would be with his disciples in bringing all things to his remembrance, that is everything Jesus had said and done to enable them to inscripturate the gospel. To write the Gospels, he would call to their remembrance all these things that he had said and things that they had observed in him in his miracle-working life. And in so doing, he would enable them to write the Scriptures, especially, of course, at this point, the New Testament, the Gospels, the Epistles, especially even the book of Acts. So this is the first thing the Spirit will do, is he will teach you all things and bring them to remembrance. Then in Chapter 15, verse 26, when the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. That's something we need to always remember. The Holy Spirit comes to put the spotlight on Christ. I don't know how much you've observed of modern Christianity. There's a lot of talk about the Holy Spirit, and very little talk about Christ. And it's never the intention. Just like Jesus came to do nothing but to glorify the Father, the Spirit comes to glorify the Son and to magnify Him. And you'll see that in a little more in what other things that He does. In chapter 16 and verse 13, the passage we read, here are some of the things that He will do. And He's noticed now He's called the Spirit of Truth. So the primary work of the Spirit of God has to do with something with respect to truth. And we'll see that as we close. But He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority. He defers to the authority of Christ and the authority of the Father. He has His authority, but He will not speak on His own authority. Whatever He hears, He will speak. And remember, Jesus said, "My Father works and I work. My Father works and I speak." It's the same principle here. Jesus speaks and the Spirit speaks. Jesus works and the Spirit works. In other words, they're all together. The triune God is working in complete unity, for they are indeed one God, in essence. He will declare to you the things to come. Not just the things to come in some far-off prophecy, but things to come immediately. In fact, there's going to be some important things happening. There's going to be the day of Pentecost. There's going to be the beginning of the church. There's going to be a number of things. And guess who leads the parade in operation in setting up that church? It's the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, you read the book of Acts, and it says the Holy Spirit did this, the Holy Spirit said that, the Holy Spirit. Even when the couple lied, it was said they lied to the Holy Spirit. And so He's operative in God's people. He will declare the things that come. He will glorify Me, as we said a moment ago. He will take what is Mine and He will declare it to you, not just manifest it to you, but preach it. That's one of the three or four words in the Bible for preach. He will take Me and preach Christ to me. In other words, His ministry will be absolutely Christocentric, but it's beyond Christocentric. It'll be Christocentric. It'll be Christ in the preaching of the cross. And finally, the final question is, why the Helper? Do you remember verse 1 that we just read? I've said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. And that's why you need to hear this message today, dear friend. This is what will keep you from falling away. It's the work and the ministry of keeping Christ at the center of your life. By the Holy Spirit, walking in step with the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, having the Spirit of God indwell you, fill you, empower you, enable you to do those things that you need to do. It's the Spirit of God within us that causes us to walk in the statutes of God, causes us and enables us to please Him. Are you in any danger today, do you think, of falling away? I think we all need to be aware. Let the man take heed. If he thinks he stands, lest he fall. And that's what we need to all be doing, watching for this falling away. And one of the things that'll help is what the Holy Spirit will do. And I'll mention the last thing. It's in verse 8. And that is that He will come and He will convict the world of three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's the Holy Spirit's job. In fact, the word convict means to prove wrong. He will prove the world wrong with respect to sin. We're developing in the world out there a notion of what's right and what's wrong. And it goes counter to what God has told us for centuries, what's right and what's wrong. And the Holy Spirit will come to prove wrong the world. And the principal thing is they do not believe in Jesus. He will come to prove wrong the world's notions of righteousness. We're being virtue signaled on every hand these days about things that we need to do that are virtuous. And they may or may not be according to God's counsel and will and according to His holy law and according to His righteousness. And we as Christians are to seek first the kingdom of God in His righteousness. And the Spirit comes to convict the world that their notion of righteousness is wrong and their rightness, real rightness, is found in Jesus Christ. And finally, judgment. The Holy Spirit comes to prove wrong the world with respect to judgment. In the final analysis, it'll be the Lord himself who vindicates his disciples. Early in this passage, he talked about the persecution would come, be thrown out of the synagogues, would be killed, and people that were killing you would think they're doing a religious duty. And Jesus said in his warnings to them, you need a helper. You're going to need some strength. You're going to need an aid. You're going to need an advocate. You're going to need a counselor. You're going to need a comforter. You need someone just like me. He's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm sending him. I'm asking the Father, and I'm sending him. Bow your head, if you would, for a moment of silent prayer. And as you do so, do business with God. If you've strayed away from God, if you're in danger of falling away, will you take that up with the Lord? His mercy and grace will cover you if you'll just call upon him even as you pray.